Heavenly Father, come to you in prayer this morning hour, thanking you, Lord, for your blessings, thanking you, Lord, for providing a way for us to be here, to be with brothers and sisters with like precious faith, to be with friends and family. And Lord, as we have looked into your word this morning in Bible class, again, Lord, this morning we ask and pray for your blessing, that you would come, you'd be with us, Lord, that you would speak to us, Lord, and help us to look within our hearts, the house that we are building for you. Lord, we ask and pray that you would give me the thoughts upon my hearts and the words upon my lips to speak, Lord, that as those that would be listening, Lord, that they may not be looking at the speaker, but listening to the message that you have for each and every one of us here today. So we ask for your blessing. We ask that you would come and join us, that you would be with us, that you'd send your guardian angel to watch over us and protect us. For this I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple weeks ago, I had a message on the foundation. And for us looking to look at our foundation to make sure that our foundation is sure. And following that, I was kind of thinking of the message the following week, and I thought, you know, I was kind of, there's actually three levels to this foundation, to building a house, because we talked about building a house on a sure foundation. So as I thought about these three levels, the sermon that I had a couple weeks ago was actually the one in the middle. So with the help of the Lord today, I would like to talk about the start. We'll talk about the foundation a little bit, just kind of a recap, and then the building on that foundation. So there'll be three portions of scripture that we'll be reading and looking at. And if you can turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to read that full chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. That will be the main basis to the message this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with the milk and not with meat, for hereunto you are not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife, divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men? And while on earth I am of, and while one saith, I am of Paul, the other, I am of Apollos, are ye not yet carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every one shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For another foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man build a house, this foundation, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And any man's work abide which he built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so by fire. Know ye that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Then again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the word or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God. The portion of scripture that came to me was the building. We talked about a little bit a few weeks ago, building upon the foundation. But there has to be a start to a building. There has to be a beginning. There has to be a conviction, a vision. And as I was thinking, along with that comes a cost. And I was reminded of the portion of the scripture, if you want to turn with me to Luke chapter 9. And it talks about, in verse 57, it talks about the cost of becoming a disciple. And it says, "And it came to pass that as they went their way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee wherever you go. And Jesus said, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." You see, there has to be one, before he starts building on this foundation, a desire to build, a desire to know this sure foundation. There has to be somebody that is convicted by the Spirit. And we see that happening, that the Spirit is still working today, that those that are seeking, those that are want to have that commitment with God. But we also know that those that are just kind of on the fence because they're not sure. Will I be able to be faithful to the end? Will I be able to sustain and be that faithful servant? You know, we talked about in Bible class this morning, Lot's wife. When the angel told him, don't look back. And I believe Brother Tim brought up the point that it wasn't just that she turned her shoulder to look behind her after the fires and brimstone came down. But it was more of turning around and observing and seeing and perhaps maybe, oh, wow. Having that feeling, they lived there for a while. And maybe having a desire of what was there and what she left behind. And we see that the consequence for that. And it was brought up in Bible class also, this portion of scripture that says, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You see, those that have not made that relationship with God yet, or those that are sitting on the fence and that want to have that relationship with God, God wants you to be sure. God wants you to give him your all. He wants to make sure that when you have turned from your sin nature and you're giving up your life to him, that there's no looking back. Along with that, I was thinking about the sower and the seed. Especially with this where one says, Lord, suffer me to go first and bury my father, or suffer me to go first and tell the family, or whatever excuses come up. You know, we all know the story of the sower and sower and the seed, which is preceding in chapter 8. And in chapter 8, it says, and some fell on a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, this is the seed, it withered away because it lacks moisture. You see, this is what God is talking about. If you're going to start, he wants you to continue. He wants you to finish. Because in verse 13, he goes on and explains that they that are on the rock are they which hear and receive the word with joy and have no root, which for a while, and then in time of temptation fall away. See, God wants us to be sure when we start our walk with him, when we start our journey with him, when we start building our home on his foundation, that that's where we're going to be. That we're not going to look back. I was driving home, actually going back and forth to work. I go through Oxnard, which is their farm fields, agriculture. And it never ceases to amaze me that as you're driving by, they plow the field, they till it, and then they they cut these rows in the dirt where they plant these the plants, whether it's onions or strawberries or celery. And you're driving, you see these perfect rows, these fields that are just have beautiful, perfect rows. Somebody that has a plow and is plowing the field, if they're looking back, can you just imagine the rows? How would it would look? You see, 2 Peter 1:10 says, "Therefore, ye rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall." So the first level is a conviction level, the vision level. And you know, it's good to have that passion, the desire to love the Lord and want to be a follower of the Lord. But he doesn't want you to start and then quit. So if you look at, we don't have to go back, but I'll just kind of touch a little bit on laying the foundation. And that was the sermon a couple weeks ago that I had on laying the foundation upon a solid rock. We have a desire that we want to be a follower of the Lord. We want to serve the Lord all the days of our lives. But he says in order to do that, you have to have that foundation. And in Luke 46 to 49, it says, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man that built a house, and he's like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the floods rose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and it could not shake, for it was founded upon a rock." But he that heareth and doeth not is like the man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth against which the stream did vehemently beat, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. And we talked about it a couple weeks ago. Because during the time of your building, you will come across some sort of temptation. You will come across some sort of storm. If you're not in the storm now, if you may be in the middle, or you may be coming out of it. One way or another, you will be going through a storm in your life. Question is the foundation that you built upon a solid rock? And I liked Timothy's because the portion of Timothy's where he says that the wise man, he says he dug deep. Some that are starting early in their lives, they really haven't had that experience, or they really haven't gone through life experiences, if you will, that perhaps would separate them from God, or kind of, or would keep them from moving forward, or from building upon that foundation. So I would think of that as maybe the soot or the sand that's kind of right upon that foundation a little bit, upon that, I mean, that rock. Those that are perhaps a little older in their years, that have perhaps experienced more. And there's a lot of sand there. There's a lot of dirt there. And they need to dig deep and clean that out so that when they build their house, they build that house on a solid rock, solid foundation. That's just one perspective. That's not all. And then we look at this third portion. Once we've established that we want to serve the Lord, that we want to give our lives to the Lord, and we want to serve Him all the days of our lives, and we've made that determination with the help of the Lord that we will do that, and we give our life over to Him, and we confess our sins, and we're baptized, now, that's the foundation. Now we build our spiritual house on that foundation. What does that look like? What does that look like for you and me? If we look at, we go back to 1 Corinthians, where Apostle Paul was talking to the Corinthians, and he says, I can tell you about the carnal things. But you're not able to withstand the spiritual right now. I'm feeding you milk, but not meat. And as there was this a little bit of a discussion of who they were baptized, Apollos or Paul, Paul said, that's not the point. You're missing the point. Who then is Paul? Who then is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe. And he goes on to talk about, in verse 9, he goes, we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. So he's telling them that as believers in Christ, you are a building of God. You are the temple, Scripture tells us. You are the building in which the Spirit dwells in. But he says, according to the grace of God, which is given to me, a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation. I've told you about Christ. I've told you who he is, and I've shared with you the gospel story, that on him is salvation. In him is salvation. But he says, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. So what is your spiritual house made out of? You'd like to think it's made out of gold. We'd like to think it's made out of precious stones. We'd like to think that it's secured on that foundation. We like to think that. But is it? Have we taken inventory of our lives to see? Well, what is hay? What is straw? What is stubble? What is wood? The materials that we use to build our house on. Some say that hay is symbolized wealth and poverty. The here and the now. Influenced by religious or moralistic traditions, which is viewed as vanity. Or as hay, it's also a symbol of earthly goods and worldly behavior. So how much of hay is supporting our house? How about straw? If we talk about straw, it says straw is usually associated with poverty. But the thing with straw is that straw has no stability. So if your house is made of straw, it's going to fall. And it talks about stubble. Stubble is the part that when they grow corn and then they go ahead and harvest the corn, then the stalk is there. That's called stubble. Typically what they do with that is they take that and they either burn it or they till it right back into the ground. It has no value. There was a quote that I read that said, these are shallow activities with no eternal value. But we're reminded that if you build your house on gold, silver, and precious stones, we know that gold, it talks about somebody that refines gold, that would burn the gold so that all the impurities would come to the top. And then they would take that, it's called the dross, they would remove that and the gold becomes finer and finer. Same thing with, if we talk about silver, they do the same with silver. And then when they talk about the stones or the precious stones, it's more referred to perhaps like a granite rock or something that's a little bit more stone that's more dense. That doesn't burn. See, Scripture tells us that there's going to come a time when our work will be tested. Every man's work shall be made manifest, and the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. So when those times come, when that time comes, will our house stand? And every man's work shall abide, which he hath built thereon, and he shall receive a reward. And he goes on in 16 and says, know ye that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. When I had the sermon a couple weeks ago, I made the analogy of a man, and those of you who heard this, please forgive me for being redundant, but there was a man that had a piece of property and gave two contractors two sets of plans, blueprints, and said, I want you to build me a house, both of you. And he took the blueprints and he says, I give you a budget, build me the house. Two contractors built the house. The one that built it took all the materials that he could, the best materials that he can find within the budget that he was given to build this house. And the other one was given the same set of plans, guidelines, rules, and everything else. And he thought, oh, well, you know what? I'm going to skimp out on this. I'm not going to use the good wood, maybe a little bit cheaper wood, or I'm not going to use granite. We'll probably use formica for the countertops and so forth. And then whatever he had left, he would pocket the money. And when the houses were done, the owner of the land went up to the men, and he saw the two homes, and he says, gave them the keys. He goes, now go live in them. The man that didn't skimp out on the materials and used the best, he had a house that would last. Whereas the one that had the home where he skimped out and just used the cheapest materials, you know, I don't think he would want to hold on to that home for very long, because he'd have a lot of upkeep on that. Revelations 22:12 says, behold, I'm coming soon, my reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. Since Jesus will be distributing rewards on the basis of what we have done, we can safely say that there will be a time of reward for believers, that the rewards will differ from person to person. You see, it says that one will suffer loss and the other won't. Even though both of them will be saved. Scripture tells us that. The fire doesn't purify the worker, it tests the workmanship. All of us have choices to make. How we invest our talents and our resources, our time, and what we do with them. And what are our priorities? This is what dictates whether we're building a house out of straw and stubble and wood, or out of stone, gold and silver. Only those works that survive God's refining fire have eternal value and will be worth and worthy of a reward. How is your spiritual house built? Is it time to remodel? Is it time for us to look at our spiritual house that we have, and have we invested a lot of our time in the earthly things that bring satisfaction that will only last a lifetime and not eternity? And while we're here, while God gives us life and breath, if there's an area that we need to remodel, to remove the hay, the stubble, and the wood, let's replace it with a stone, with a gold, and the silver. How is your spiritual house built? Is it time to remodel? May God bless his word.